America has the biggest hypocrites here in America. Even Gandhi, and most of you, if you are readers, you've heard this. Even Gandhi said that the professed Christian was nothing like their Christ. Why is that? Why is it that the American church, if I can put it that way, continues to have people witness about us that we are nothing like our God? That should cause concern for many of us today. And I believe it has everything to do with most professed Christians don't take it seriously that you must obey what your Savior has said. It's not enough to simply have his commands. It's not enough to just show up on Sundays and say, "Pastor, that was a good sermon." But you must obey what you learn. And so today we're going to be looking briefly in John's first letter. Some of you call it Little John. First John. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to turn there, 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 7 through 12, and then we'll jump to 19 through 21. 7 through 12, 19 through 21. If you don't have your Bibles, we certainly will have it up on the screen for you. You can read along with us there. You who are at home, you certainly can look on your devices or your televisions, and it should be right up on the screen for you as we read along. Keep in mind how we started and how we began so we can see what it is that the Lord has willed for us to learn from this text. Why is it that people say we look nothing like our God? This is the way the Bible reads in 1 John. Not the gospel now. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, towards the back. 1 John. Beginning at verse 7 through 12, and then we'll jump again to 19 through 21. Verse 7 reads this way. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love." This is what love is. This is love. "Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." Look at this. Now, jump to 19 if you're reading in your Bibles. "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." And finally, verse 21, "And he has given us this command." I'm going to say that two more times. "He has given us this command." Remember what I said? It's not enough to know what it says if you're not going to obey what it says. "And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." I've titled today's text, "Reciprocal Love." Reciprocal love. And I'll give a definition in a moment. Reciprocal love. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this blessed and appointed opportunity to again be in your presence and stand before your people, God. We are humbled that you would give us chance after chance, God, to be a part of your plans and your purpose. I pray now for today, God. Thank you for all of those who have come to this place and all of those who have tuned in this day, God. I pray that you'll minister to our hearts, God, and I pray that you'll glorify God by bringing fruit that's fit for your glory out of the hearts of men. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Reciprocal love. If you go and you look up the definition of reciprocal, it means to give and receive. To give and receive. In other words, it's a mutual love. So here in 1 John is said to be a book of tests, Elaine. They test of what a genuine Christian is to be. 1 John is said to be a book of tests. It contains tests of what a genuine Christian is to be. And so if you go back and you take the time to read this chapter, you'll find out that the chapter opens up with an encouragement to test and try the spirits. Test the spirit by the spirit. And what he's saying is, because there are many spirits in the world, many false prophets have gone out into the world. So testing the spirits in that context is talking about testing your teachers or your leaders. And you test them by what they are teaching and see what kind of spirit is motivating them, inspiring them, and so forth. And it is in light of what they believe and teach regarding the person of Jesus Christ. And so that becomes the focal point of how you begin to test people, the work of Christ, a person's attitude towards the person of Jesus Christ. Get this now, it's not only just it got to be right doctrinally, but it got to be right practically as well. And that's how you're going to see the text says whether you determine if a person has a true relationship with God. Anybody can say, I belong to him. Anybody can be baptized in water. And what you're going to see, if you'll take the time to read back through, you're not going to see those things there. But what you're going to see now is another test, the test of love, reciprocal love, reciprocal agape love, because there are different types of love, and we'll talk about it. So in verse 7 here, when we approach verse 7 here, it says, dear friends, and I actually love the NASB here because it says, dearly beloved, because those who are loved is what the proper original text says. Those who are loved, let us love one another. Why? The purpose is already there. For love comes from God. Love is from God. And you'll see again in verse 8, it's going to say God is love. But love is the very character of God. And so it comes from him. He's the source of it. It's just like fire is the source of heat. It puts out light. The sun is the source of light. God is love. Love comes from him. So everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, when you do a study on this, the tense of a verb helps you understand this. This is in its present tense. So what a present tense verb means is it's something that's in the present, but it happened in the past. So when it says everyone who loves has been born of God and knows him, it's talking about everyone who is loving has been born of God. And I have to stress that because it's not that you do loving acts to belong to God. It's because you belong to him that you now can love. Now, I'm not saying an unbeliever. Well, let me back up because that begs the question. Because only a true believer, and you're getting ready to see this in a moment, can love as God requires love. Agape love, not phileo or filio, however you want to pronounce it. That's where we get Philadelphia, brotherly love, not that, not eros, not that romantic type love, but agape love, self-sacrificing love is where we're going with this. Because even an unbeliever can do some loving acts. But I remember we were on vacation one time with a family we call our friends, and we were on vacation with them one time, and the father of this family, he's a professed Muslim. And we were talking scripture, and this is what he said to me. He says, the reason I reject the Bible and your God is because it says love your enemies. He said, that's unnatural. And little did he know, I agree with you, because it's supernatural. It's supernatural. You're absolutely right. The kind of love he was talking about, that agape love, you can love and pray for your enemies. So everyone who loves or who is loving, because it's in the present tense, the proper way this should read is everyone who is loving has been born of God. And the know there is in present tense too, and is knowing God. Because you're getting ready to see why I put the emphasis on it, because verse 8 is going to give the aorist tense to the word. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Whoever is not loving, the aorist tense, going back to the past, has not ever known God. Because God is love. So the two comes together. Love comes from God. He is the source of love because God is love. And I think it's important. You can't flip that around. Love is not God. God is love. God is light. God is many things. God is holy. It's just one of the, it's an essential characteristic of God. Reciprocal love is where we're headed here. But dearly friends or dearly beloved, those of you who are loved, and you're going to see this three times in this text today. Verse 7, let us love one another. The end of verse 11, love one another. The middle of verse 12, love one another. Over and over and over again. Because God is the source of love. And as a Christian, if you profess to have God in you, God is love. It has to come out of you. But anyone who does not love, and keeping the context, this is all about loving one another. Anyone who is not loving each other, it is not that you don't just know God. You have never known God. Because God is love. There's no way around it. Many of us don't understand the concept of when God comes to live in you, He begins to work in you, and what He is in you comes out of you. So there is no way that God, who is love, can be in you, and love is not produced out of you. And that's why it's called an incorruptible seed. There is nothing that can mess that up. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Everybody who is loving has been born of God and is knowing God. But if you are not loving, not only do you not know God, you have never known God because God is love. Go to verse 9 for me. He says, here is the example of the type of love that we're talking about, that we are to love one another. A reciprocating love, a love that is felt, that is given, is felt. See, the world describes love by feelings and emotions. I don't love him no more, Elaine. I don't think I love him no more. You don't think you love him no more. Agape love has nothing to do with feelings. Agape love is a choice. You do it. You choose to do it regardless. He says, here's the example. This is how God showed his love among us. The type of love, this reciprocal love, this type of love that is felt, that is given there. This love, this is how he did it. He sent his one and only son. So not only did he send to show how unselfish he was, look at this, his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. And it's important to read 10 with this because you got to know what love is not. This is love. Not that we love God. See, this type of love wasn't because you were loving God. Now he did this for you. Because none of us were loving God. It was while you were yet a sinner, he sent his son into the world so that you might live through him. While you couldn't do for yourself, while you were a rebellious people, while you were God haters. I see, we don't like to hear that. We don't sound, I've never been a God hater. Disobedience is not how we define it, but how God defines it. This reciprocal love, this love that is given, this love that is felt, is not conditioned, but unconditional love. So, I'm finna make it personal. Talk to many of you. So just because what I'm about to say, you think I'm talking to you, I probably am, but I'm probably talking to some more people too. Because when you talk to me, I don't need to know your 5 to 10 things or 10 reasons or why y'all are at odds with each other. I don't need them because this type of love that we're talking about here has nothing to do with what he or she did. Because if you want to use the example that he said, this is how God showed his love among us. You don't want God to say, well, I'm going to do this for you depending on how you do to me. So you got to be very careful. Today's message about reciprocal love means this agape love is, I have your best interest at heart regardless. See, I could have easily did this from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you go and you look, the two go hand in hand together. Love has nothing to do with, well, if you do this, then I'll do that. And now he says, I'm not going to go through figuring out who did what to who. Let me just show you my example. When you could not do for yourself, I simply chose to do it for you. And that's the type of love, and that's the type of genuine love that the Bible calls for, that shows if you truly have a relationship with him. Christians, not the world. Now, see, it's easy to kind of see it when you're talking about the world, but I'm talking about Christians. Christians, unforgiving towards one another, not loving each other, mad with each other, won't work it out. I'm through with them. Christians. This is love. Not that we love God. You didn't first love him. And he's actually going to repeat this when we get to 19, that God first loved us, but that he loved us. And look at it. It almost seems like a repeat of verse 9. God showed his love among us that he sent his son, one and only son in the world, that we could live through him. And now he says that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that gives you the picture of it, because he tells you the purpose of it. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for your sin. The only thing that God the Father would accept was Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that you and I won't have to endure the wrath of God. God, before you ever loved him, decided to have your best interest at heart and die for you. We could have easily, 1 John chapter 3, the same book, chapter 3, verse 16, speaks about the same thing. It says, since Christ died for us or laid down his life for us, we also ought to want to lay down our lives for each other. But see, we can't even get that far because we can't even speak to one another. Christians. And so now the little girl that I mentioned in the beginning, I begin to see why she might think the way she thinks. We let minor things separate us. And the whole time the enemy is sitting in the corner laughing at us. And the people don't want our God because we're no different from them. The world will know that you belong to me by your love for one another. So if we're not loving one another, how can the world know that we really belong to him? You can't get mad at Gandhi for saying we look nothing like our Christ if we're not loving one another. I've held countless number of conversations of the battle about religions, and oh, we got the right religion, everybody else's religion is fake. And I do believe that. But it frustrates me that they seem more committed to what they believe than we do. It's not enough to hear it. You must become doers of the word of God. And if you really can understand this, it's not you. It's the God in you that does it. And that's why this scripture says this, because if it's not coming out of you, why do you believe you belong to him? Reciprocal love is love that is given and love that is felt. Go to verse 11 for me. Dearly beloved, dear friends, since he did that, because he did that, did what? Because he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us, do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Rarely will a man lay down his life for a righteous person, but he laid down his life for a whole human race of unrighteous people. Since God so loved us, since he so loved us in this way, since he gave a self-sacrificial love, we also ought to love one another. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You got people that come to church on Sunday morning, one sit on their side, one sit on their side, and hope they don't cross each other's path. In the church. And then I'll go home and say, you see, she didn't speak to me. You didn't speak to her. It's not he. No one. Not KP words. I come with a word that's not my own. This is not my. I didn't write any of it. No one has ever seen God. We all agree with that, KP. We know that. Nobody's ever seen God. We agree. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Remember, 1 John is a book of tests. You can say it all day long, how much you belong to Christ. God knows my heart. He knows I love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's his words. If you love me, keep my commandments. Nobody's ever seen him. God is spirit, right? Nobody's ever seen him. But if we love one another, he says, but here's how you can know. Here's how you can know that God lives in you. And his love is being made complete in you. Are you loving each other? Is there a reciprocal love? Is there a love given and felt? Not just words, given and felt. Words don't mean anything. One of the examples I love to give the children, a husband text, say he loves his wife all day long, and yet he beats on her. How is that love? What is given and felt? Love is action. Don't let this world redefine what God is saying. Love is an action word. You can tell a lot about a person by the life that they live. We don't like that, and I'm not preaching a salvation by works. Look, you don't try to love to become saved, but a truly saved person that has genuine faith will, not might, but will love. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. You haven't seen him. How do you know? We weren't here doing when Jesus walked the earth. He's resurrected. He now is at the right hand of the Father. How can you and I be sure? God's work in your life is the evidence of it. Are you different? Are you changed? Are you still bitter, the same old angry you? How do you respond to people? Go to 19 for me. And it goes back to what I told you. It's not that we loved God. We love because he first loved us. You can only do this type of love because of what God has done. Now for the believer, for the person that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, have given their lives to Christ, his Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in you. The Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, who is God himself. What did we learn? God is love. So that God who is love lives in you. And because he did that, now you can love. But whoever claims to love God, I like that he used the word claim. No, none of us can judge someone and tell somebody who's saved and who's not. We can't tell you. I can't condemn you. But by your own words, you'll be condemned. I can't condemn you. But what the scripture does say, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. And it says here, whoever says they love God. How many times have you ran into somebody and you're trying to talk to them about, you know, their lives are not lining up and you know it. And but they say, but God, no, I love them, right? Whoever claims that yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Look at how strong the language is. You say you love God, but you don't love people. Not just this is in the family of God. In the family of God, just members of the body of Christ. If you all hate each other, the Bible says you're a liar. What are they lying about? Claiming to love God. You whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. So all of a sudden, again, the re-emphasis here is what? It does not matter what we're saying with our mouths if our lives don't line up with that. It must be a reciprocal love. It must be felt. It must be given. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, as if the emphasis needed to be there, whom they have seen. Nobody's ever seen God. You never seen him physically in person. But I love him. But the people you see Sunday after Sunday, throughout the week, maybe in the supermarkets or wherever, and you don't love each other who y'all see, you cannot love God whom you have not seen. Because the evidence of you knowing God is what? You must belong to him. The evidence of you knowing God, you must belong to him. And if you belong to him because God is love, it's one of those things that says, it only makes sense. If God is love and you know him, he now lives in you, why are you not loving one another is a proper question. Go to that last verse for a minute. I'm going to give a summation here. Because this is the command. It's a command. This is where we continuously fall short and we continuously give the world a coattail to grab us by. How we love one another, how we treat one another, how we respond to one another, not just in this church, right in our homes. How we speak to one another. Don't put on no face coming in here. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. I'm steadily asking God, don't let me fool myself. He's given us this command. It's not an option. It's not a choice. It's a command. You claim you love God. Anyone who loves God must love their brother or sister. In other words, John says, just like you can test the spirit by the spirit, you can test these teachers by what they teach and what they say about Jesus Christ, you can test these professed believers about how they love one another, how they treat one another. That can go in a spouse relationship, family relationship, in here relationship. And I won't put it out there, but I know because I've talked to many of you about the things that's going on. And now from Scripture, we see that God says this. And I'm gonna actually close with 1 Corinthians 13, and I'll go over there. You don't have to turn there, but he has given us this command. So if you didn't learn anything, I won't know what God's will is for my life. Okay, cool. Here's his command for you. Love your brother and sister. Love. And now look, that goes, even though in our immediate context we're talking about a brother and sister, is really for everybody, even your own enemies. But we don't even get to that part because we can't get it right within the four walls of the church first. And that's a shame. I'm not saying everything going to always be good. There's going to always be tension, if you will. I'd be lying to say everything's always perfect in our home. But, and I can say this boldly, standing right here, and y'all, if Lane shake your head or make a sound if I'm lying to him. But she'll tell you, when I'm wrong, I got no problem saying I'm wrong, because I want to make sure we go hurry up. How do we fix it? How do we fix it? Let's not play the back and forth game, who can name how many things the other person did to him. How do we fix it? I got a solution for you if you are willing to receive it. Just simply say, I hurt you. I'm sorry. Let's move on. Or you vice versa to me. Let's not go back and go through the list. Let's not go through the list. I hurt you. I hurt you, Chris. I'm sorry. It does us no good to come in here Sunday after Sunday if we're not going to be obedient to what we learn from the Scripture. As a test of whether you are a genuine Christian or not, Regardless of what people tell you, what you do speaks volumes about whether you belong to him or not. Yes, faith alone in Jesus Christ alone is what saves someone. Only what Jesus Christ did on the cross can pay for the sins of this entire world. And it's only credited to you. Applied to your account, if you will, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and that alone. But God says, that's when I perform the miracle. For the person that does that, I come into their lives, I give them a new heart, and I change them to where it's so amazing that they will not only love one another, they will love their own enemies. They will pray for their own enemies. It's a reciprocal love. It's a given love that's felt. They know it. And when I go back and I read through history and I see the early church, that was one of the things that stood out for most of the pagans, if you will, that were around the early church. How much they cared for each other. But I'm afraid as we've gotten further along in history, rather than build on that, it's like we've declined from that. There have been plenty of time. I might be finna show my hand to Elaine now, but there have been plenty of time that I could have made the case, but I realized, you know what? It's not even worth it to try to make the case. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. Listen to these words, and I'm gonna prepare to close. Listen to these words. You know them very well. But I want you to think about what it says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Now let me read that one again. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It never, ever fails. God is love. And today, in reciprocal love, I need you to have reciprocal agape love. It is a self-sacrificing love that is given and felt. It is not based upon conditions. It is a command of God for everyone who claims to know him, even though they have never seen him. You ought to love one another. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word, God. We thank you again for Randall Anusik today, God, and his bold profession to not only say, he does confess in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to publicly make it known by being baptized and identified with him. Again, we pray for him, God, that you would raise him up, God, and from the head, the top of his head to the soles of his feet, God, that you would make him and mold and shape him, God, into all that you have will for him to be. I pray, God, that out of the life of Randall Anusik, God, that he will bring you so much glory to your name. Guard his mind, Father. Watch over him and protect him, God, as he goes out into the world, into that secondary education, God. And we pray, God, he will come back the wiser, God, and come back, God, more mature than when he left. We thank you for him. Thank you for these people today, God, that have showed up in this place. Thank you for reminding us, God, not only that your very nature is love, but those who profess to be your children, it should be seen in their nature as well. So I pray now, God, that your word will go forth with power and accomplish everything that you have will for it to accomplish to your glory. May your favor and your blessings go with your people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joy is going to play softly very quickly. And I assure you, I will never take this platform, if you will, to blast people. That's not what I love you. That's what I'm supposed to do. Love. You have to speak the truth in love. Sometimes it's not good to hear it. Because we don't. It's a natural thing. Self don't want to see. We don't want to see ourselves other than in a light that we're good and we're great. But let me be transparent. I certainly am not perfect. Don't amen. I know that sanctification is ongoing, but I make no excuses. Do you make excuses? Don't make excuses. If you know that you are not, you don't have a right relationship with a fellow believer, now I'm finna put you on the spot now though. You need to come to the altar. Not for show, but because God commands us to love one another. You have this opportunity right now. Nothing magical in it. But just like Randall stood up there as a public expression, that's what coming up here is, a public expression. God, you know what? My relationship ain't right with certain folks. Right there at home. Make sure you bow your head right there at home if you know your relationships are not right with people. It's amazing that he so loved us that he would send his only son, and he loved us that he would even give us time after time after time to get it right. But you have this opportunity right now. You can come to my left, your right. You can kneel here. Nobody bothers you. I'm not going to ask you when you get up what you prayed to about. I don't know. That's between you and God. You can come to my right, your left. If you want somebody to put their arms around you and pray with you or pray for you. But we got to stop. Maybe somewhere down the road the message will come. Because it was between this and a message entitled, either honor God or close the doors. Honor God or close the doors. Take his name off of it, off the side of the marquee or whatever out there. If we ain't going to do what he say, we might as well just take his name off everything. We can't go through the motions. We're going to have our times. Life is not going to always be smooth. There's going to be bumpy roads. But we already know what he says. That should be reciprocal love. We should be loving one another. Won't you stand? Won't you come?
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am. child of God. I am a child.
You may be seated. Thank you, Joey. As always, I love when the Word of God challenges me. And for the sake of the person, I won't name them, but there was someone that I hated. See, I can stand in front of you. I said I hated them. But this is how I know that God is in my heart, because I could not hate this person after I came to Christ. He would not. Not only would he not let me hate the person, I had to establish a relationship with the person. That's the power of God. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to close in prayer. Listen at this. What does God command for us? This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. We make things so simple, so difficult. Only two things: believe in the Son, love one another. And if the work, that's the only thing need to be on the bill at the when they vote, Lamar. That's the only bill we need right there. If we had that, we'd be fine. But we continue to miss that. The only thing God wants from us is to know and experience what real love is. And the Christians, the believers, the family of God, that's what makes us the light in the world, the salt of the earth, when we are loving one another. I'm going to pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Thank you again so much for all of you who have come to this place. I pray that you would meditate on it. And if you know that your relationship is not right with somebody, I hope you don't let go to sleep tonight without making an attempt to make it right. Because it is God's will for us to believe in his Son and to love each other. Father, thank you again for this blessed hour. Thank you so much, God. Let us certainly exalt the fact, God, that you first loved us. And that you sent your Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. So we thank you and bless your name, God. I pray that those, God, who truly know you, even though they haven't seen you, I pray that they would now go out of this place. If relationships are not right, they would seek reconciliation and restoration, God, just as you have sought reconciliation and restoration with us. Thank you so much for being the ultimate example of what the true agape love is. Now, God, may you get glory and joy from seeing it among those who profess to be your children. As these people leave this place, God, again, favors and blessings and peace in their homes, God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you guys who are joining us live. God bless you all as well. Y'all have a great Sunday. Y'all go take care of those fathers. Amen, brother.